There's one magical, haunted evening each year when all the scary creatures come out to prowl through every neighborhood. But here's the scariest monster of all. Do you know why? This little witch doesn't know it, but she's taking some frightening chances of being hurt. Maybe badly hurt.
Hey guys, welcome back to Napalm Nanny in the Shack. I am your host, the one, the only Napalm Nanny. And that candy bag full of goodies you'll be hauling home tonight? Yeah, better check them twice. We've been told that we should never take candy from a stranger, but that's thrown out of the window one spooky night a year. We hesitatingly gorge ourselves despite the threat of razor blades, needles, and drugs in our sweets. And that fear and paranoia only intensified in 1974. Ronald Clark O'Brien, an optician, was out Halloween night supervising his children while they were trick-or-treating. 8-year-old Timothy and 5-year-old Elizabeth, along with Jim Bates, a neighbor, and his son. They were making their rounds in a nearby suburban neighborhood, and one house they approached had the lights turned off, and there was no answer. So Jim and the kids moved on to the next house, but Ronald stayed behind, insisting that there were treats to be had, and then soon returning with a handful of 21-inch pixie sticks. And if you don't know what pixie sticks are, they're essentially just tubes full of just straight up sugar. So each of the children received a pixie stick, even giving one to Jim's other child and a 10-year-old boy from their church that they just so happened to cross paths with. So Ronald's children were allowed one treat before bed, and Timothy picked the pixie stick. He complained of a bitter taste, so Ronald gave him a glass of Kool-Aid to wash it down. But Timothy was found dead an hour later. It was revealed that the top 2 inches of the stick was packed with cyanide. The other sticks were immediately taken from the other children, noting how the person responsible had used staples to reseal them. Ronald pointed the police to the neighborhood, and it was revealed that the man living in the accused household had a rock-solid alibi. He was working Halloween night, and his wife and children turned off the lights after they had ran out of candy. This redirected everyone's attention back on Ronald, and it was discovered that Ronald had taken out life insurance policies on both of his children. It was known that Ronald was over $100,000 in debt, so when he called about the policy the morning after Timothy's death, well, I think it's obvious who did it. But fortunately, you don't have to worry about that at the Shack. So enjoy this week's playlist.
Choked on my wine when I learned that the main course was me. The waitress, a vampire named Perkins, was so very fond of small gherkins. While she served the tea, she ate 43, which pickled her internal workings. Scalpels go on the left with the pitchforks. Igor, Igor. What a swimmer is Dracula's daughter, but her pool looks more red than an otter. The blood stains the boat, but it's easy to float, 'cause blood is much thicker than water. We'll be right back. old friend. How are things in Transylvania? For dessert, there was batwing confetti and the veins of a mummy named Betty. I first frowned upon it, but with ketchup on it, it tasted very much like spaghetti.
Looking for folks to scare. You can recognize this crazy cat, cause he ain't got no head.
You don't need no cream, old Charlie.
They'd say, Tom Dooley, hang down your head. In that song they sang, but the headless ghost just laughed and laughed, cause he had no head to hang.
Mr. Griller, we might as well get rid of this road.
As time went, things for the headless ghost, but he don't let it show. Boy can't get mad and blow his top, cause he got no top to blow.
He ain't even got a whip to flip.
The headless ghost by the long white sheet, he looks so sharp in that. But he moans and groans, cause he ain't got no place to wear a hat.
Yeah, but look at the tips he saved, cause he ain't got no hat to check.
They say, Tom Dooley, hang down your head, in that song they sang. But the headless ghost just laughed and laughed, cause he had no head to hang.
Mr. Griller, we might as well get rid of this rope.
That's time when things but the headless ghost, but he don't let it show. Boy, he can't get mad and blow his top, cause he got no top to blow.
Yeah, he got a whip to flip.
The headless ghost comes around by night, looking for folks to scare. You can recognize this crazy cat, cause he ain't got no hair.
Sweet love. I'm a wolf.
And what better horror movie to top off tonight than The Exorcist? And the idea of inviting spirits into your home through a Ouija board is terrifying enough. But having one possess your body while a priest battles his own inner demons is another. And the novel and the film The Exorcist came about during the Satanic Panic, which we have everyone's favorite mustached reporter, Geraldo Rivera, to thank for giving us a two-hour documentary on the phenomenon, as one of his segments included distressing images of a real Roman Catholic exorcism. And it was this sensational coverage that led to a wide misconception and heightened fear. And it wasn't just the media feeding into the anxiety and fear of the imagined social plague. The evangelical movement would further the fear-mongering, and Christian fundamentalist Jerry Falwell and his moral majority would spread the literal fire and brimstone style of Christianity. And the practice of performing exorcisms was dying down in the 60s. But resurgence of the practice came back around in 1973, when the movie The Exorcist debuted. And the Roman Catholic faith actually have to review supposed possession cases, with a potential 10% resulting in exorcisms out of, say, 300. But this is where evangelical Protestant preachers filled in the gap. And Reverend Bob Larson would actually go on to claim to have 40 exorcism teams across the country. And he would go on record saying, "Our goal is that no one should ever be more than a day's drive from a city where you can find an exorcist. Why should that freak us out? It's in the Bible. Christ taught it." But there are real consequences of people recklessly performing exorcisms. On January 1998, Charity Miranda Martin, age 17, was suffocated by her mother during an exorcism. And another case, a 31-year-old man in Pawtucket jammed 2 8-inch steel crosses down his mother-in-law's throat during an exorcism. And before you're possessed to shut off this week's episode, here's the rest of the playlist. Enjoy!
Teenage angel. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde were singing a dead duet, while Frankenstein was out playing a Russian roulette.
So that's it for this week's episode. And I am so grateful for all the support, from tuning in to sharing episodes to leaving comments. Thank you guys so much. And if you haven't already, find me on Instagram and Twitter and my new blog under Napalm Nanny in the Shack. So till next week, I am your host to this little pirate radio show, the one, the only Napalm Nanny. Happy Halloween, guys.